Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Today we begin a brand new series on how to deal with the apostasy of our day. Stay tuned for this important program. The little book of Jude is found just before you get to the last book in the New Testament, which is the book of the Revelation. The book of Genesis tells us how the whole world started. The book of Revelation tells us how it's all going to end. And the little book of Jude is in here not by accident, just before the book that tells us all about the end of the age. Now, Jude is a person who gave his entire book, as small as it is, he gave the entire book to one subject, and that subject was the apostasy, and only the apostasy. In the first part of the book, he explains it, and then he says in verse number 17, "But beloved." Now, he turns his focus to the beloved. He starts out in verse 3. It says, "Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you." He said, "I'm writing to you about something that is very important." And he explains the apostasy that we're living in today. And then he says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved. Now he focuses and says, now here's how you can survive in a day of apostasy. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And he ends his little short book with that challenge. Now, as we get to the end of the book of Jude, and as we get into the beginning of the book of the Revelation, we are coming to the end of a very long battle against God and against truth. And it's so good to know that there's going to be a time when the battle ends, and we're getting there. God and truth have always been under attack. And so now we're getting back to the final part of this attack. And it's all written here for us. We do not need to be concerned about how it's going to turn out. God has got it in his hands. God has not lost control. Things are going exactly as he prophesied that they would. And we're living in this age of apostasy. We should not be all upset because apostasy is upon us. As a matter of fact, we should be upset if it isn't, because we're obviously living at the end of the age. Prophecy tells us there will be a time of apostasy, and if there wasn't going to be this apostasy, if it weren't there, then prophecy wouldn't be true. So we need to understand that God is in charge. Now, the greatest assault that comes against truth always comes from within. There's always been a battle against the truth from without, but that's a weak battle compared to the battle that comes within. Nobody outside of your church can really hurt your church. Oh, they might give you some bruises, they might set you back in a few battles, but to win the war. However, when we get to the place where we have problems on the inside, that is where Satan can work in our local churches. In verse number 4, we read that they crept in unawares. In verse number 12, it says, they feast with you. And the real assault, the greatest assault that comes against the truth and that comes against God's local churches is within. They creep in unawares. Now, we have here this situation that Jude calls the common salvation. And I think this is one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible. He says in verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, every sermon I've ever heard, every commentary I've ever read about this verse says that Jude wanted to write about salvation, but he changed his mind. That is just absolutely, totally, completely out of line with the context of what he's talking about here. The thing is, this word common, we have said over and over again, if you really want to understand the scriptures, don't compare scriptures with commentaries until you have compared scriptures with scriptures. Now, if you look at this word common, this Greek word, it has been translated in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 2, it has been translated defiled. If you look in Romans 14 and verse 14, it is translated unclean 3 times. If you look into Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, you'll see this same Greek word has been translated an unholy thing. So what is he talking about here? He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of what is happening here, we are being infiltrated with a defiled, unclean, unholy salvation, and it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith," and particularly when it's talking about faith, the doctrine that has to do with salvation, which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, there's been a time in recent days when we've had men who are promoting in our independent Baptist movement, especially, that you don't need to repent. Now, what we have there is some people who have crept in unawares. They feast with us. They have brought in this damnable heresy that you do not need to repent in order to be saved. Just anybody want to go to heaven? Say, "I do." Well, we independent Baptists, we're quick to say, "Well, the Catholics can't just pray a prayer, go to heaven. They're praying little forgiveness prayers every day." Well, if it doesn't work for the Catholics, do we think it's going to be something that works for the Baptists? Absolutely not. What we're talking about here is the fact that in Jude's day, there was this common, defiled, unclean, unholy sort of a salvation being presented, like there is today, that says, "Oh, you don't need to repent." Why, that's just the enemy of soul winning. We can't get a crowd if you got to tell people to repent. Well, that's been our problem lately. We've been more interested in the crowd than we have the cause of Jesus Christ. We want to get a whole bunch of people coming out so we can get a big group out there looking at us, and we can talk to them, and then put money on the plate, and we can build big buildings, pave the parking lot, and build an auditorium, and look good in the eyes of all our peers. Well, that's not what John the Baptist did, and that's not what Jesus did, and that's not what Paul the Apostle did, and that's not what Peter did. They just preached the gospel. They preached the word of God. Let the Holy Spirit go to work, and let God be God. Let the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of people. Well, that kind of preaching has changed. We have come in with a unholy, unclean, defiled type of plan of salvation, which is no salvation whatsoever. And it has been presented to us from our so-called fundamental independent Baptist movement, where men have promoted this, and some of the churches, in fact, many of our churches, are swallowing this hook, line, and sinker. Now, it's important, as we said, to realize that there has been a great assault against the truth since the beginning of time. But when this assault comes within, which Jude says, now they're coming within, they're creeping in unawares, they're going to feast with you. So he said, "I gave all diligence to write unto you." This could not wait. And so we see here the importance of the truth, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You'll find the word truth in those little books 17 times. In the book of John, who is the same author as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you'll find the word truth 22 times. It's very important that we stick with the truth and that we contend for the truth. Now, we look into the book of Acts, and you can see God's plan of salvation pretty good there. We call that the Acts of the Apostles. We could call this book of Jude the Acts of the Apostates, because that's what it is focusing on. Now, way back in the beginning, when Jesus began his ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, he said in Matthew chapter 5, he began by saying, "Beware of false prophets." Then he got another sermon on another mount way at the end of Matthew 24, and he's about to leave, and he's talking to his disciples again. And once again, he says, "Beware of false prophets." Watch out for these religious hypocrites that are going to come in, and they're going to change the doctrine. You read 1st and 2nd Timothy, and it talks a lot about the importance of sound doctrine. And he said to Timothy, Paul said to that young pastor, if you want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, he didn't say build a big building. He said, do these things that I'm telling you. And what those things had to do with was the basic sound doctrine that is taught in the Word of God. Well, he told Timothy, and it's written there for us, that in the end of the age, there's going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to be denying the power thereof. We look into the book of Revelation, we see those seven churches that are represented there in seven letters to seven pastors, and most of them were rebuked for allowing false doctrine to creep into the churches. We look in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, and Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And so that's where we're living today. We need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. The fact is, we are living in an age of apostasy. Concerning the future, we need to learn how to deal with this apostasy, and Jude puts that very plain for us here in verse 17 to verse 25 in his little book of Jude here in chapter 1. Now, the challenge is to contend for the faith. Now, contend for the faith. It does not say contend against the apostasy. We don't do that. The apostasy's coming. We don't need to contend against the apostasy. We need to contend for the faith, and specifically for the faith or the doctrine that has to do with salvation, which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, if it's once delivered, then we're not supposed to be changing it. So as we get into this little book of Jude, we see he gives his entire book to the subject of apostasy and ends it by telling us how we can understand it and how we can survive in the day of apostasy. An apostate is one who knows the truth and then defects from the truth. The apostate is the most dangerous person to the cause of Jesus Christ, and that is why Jesus said concerning the church at Laodicea, "I would you were cold or hot." He even puts cold before he puts hot. He said, "I wish you were cold, everybody'd know where you are." Or, "I wish you were hot, then everybody'd know where you are." But these people in between that are lukewarm, nobody knows where they are. They're just kind of in between, and they are the most dangerous ones. The hot we can see, the cold we can see, but who are these lukewarm people? Well, Jesus said, "You make me sick." And so we're going to begin a series here on dealing with the apostasy. To deal with something is the particular way in which we behave toward two things, apostates and apostasy. Now, that's two different things. An apostate is a person who turns away from God, and he is an apostate. Apostasy is the poison or the unsound doctrine that he is presenting. Now, how do we deal with these things? Well, in the first 16 verses of the book of Jude, we have a pretty negative picture here of the apostasy and the apostates, and they're both put out here pretty plain for us to see. But when we get to verse number 17, it says, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he says, "But, beloved. The word but is used to introduce something contrasting what has already been mentioned. Now, what has already been mentioned is the apostasy is coming in. They've destroyed the plan of salvation. They've come with an unholy, defiled plan of salvation. We need to contend for the salvation which was once delivered unto the saints. We're going to be faced with false teachers. He says they are spots in your feast. They are murmurers and they are complainers. But beloved. Well, we're going to have to leave it here, and we'll just get started on how to deal with things in the age of apostasy in our next message. Be sure and tune in.